Before we begin the workshop, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to have this workshop, and we ask of Thee that You will teach us from Thy Holy Scriptures the things that we ought to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this workshop is more like a pastoral talk, as you can see from the notes that you have been provided. Right? And this pastoral talk will be on the topic preparing for marriage. And already just now, somebody received the notes and then he says, "What? Why do we need a workshop on preparing for marriage, especially those who are younger, maybe those who are in Ebenezer and are in secondary school? Why am I learning on this topic, preparing for marriage? Surely this is a topic more suitable for people in Shomerim, or maybe towards the older end of the Ebenezer group." Well, the reason is this, because if you understand the doctrine and the theology and the purpose of marriage, then your hearts will be guarded from all kinds of sexual sin. And this is a big problem today in churches. And it's also a burden that is in my heart. That is why I chose to have this topic here today. Because I've observed, right, that in the world and also in Christian churches today, due to the fact that the world nowadays is more permissive, it gives a license for people to do anything that they want, and then say that it is okay. So therefore, there is no moderation for humans to sin and to pursue after fleshly lust. And that is bad. And the other thing is this. There are quite a number of you here who are getting married or possibly will be getting married in the years to come. Well, some of you may not be attached now, but perhaps later on you may have a desire to be attached. But why are you therefore seeking a relationship with a person of the opposite sex? That would be a question. And if you do not have the right biblical understanding and conviction in your heart, well, right now you may be a person that is serving the Lord very happily, but you do not guard your heart, then after that you fall into sin, and then a life of service will be ruined. And so therefore, we are having this pastoral session on marriage, very important. Right? When you understand this doctrine of marriage, then your hearts will be guarded from sin. And you will also know how to live your life in the light of God's will. And a lot of the reason why people are very careless in their life today, and not only very careless in their life today, but with regards to marriage, they also regard it as an inconvenience, and they also rebel against it, is because they do not understand what exactly is the institution of marriage. And one thing that we read here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, is the fact that marriage is a divine institution. Please understand this. In fact, this is the key point of the entire workshop. Marriage is a divine institution, not a human institution, but a divine institution. In other words, marriage is a covenant that is consecrated by God. It is not a human institution, it's not men and men choosing to come together. Because if it's men and men choosing to come together, then, oh, I can divorce anytime that I want. I want to get married, then I get married. I want to divorce, I get divorced. And if I feel that it's inconvenient to get married, I just want to live together in the same room, in the same home. Oh, it's okay, because marriage is a human institution. I can choose whether to accept it or to reject it. But if marriage is a divine institution, then we have to be very serious about marriage. We have also to be very serious about entering into boy-girl relationship, because it's not something that is play-play. It must not be something that is pursued according to our own fleshly desires and lusts. Marriage Counseling 101 is always this point. And in fact, recently there are a few couples that came from marriage counseling, and I hope by now it's impressed upon their hearts that their coming together is not by chance. It's God who placed them together. It's God who is the divine matchmaker, and it's God who is the marriage counselor. Whichever marriage counselor they find, in the end, right, the advice that is given has to be from God's word, because it is God who placed a couple together. And if it's God who placed a couple together, then let not any pursuit for marriage be outside of God's word, be outside of God's will, because that will end up in disaster. And so what are the implications for us? Firstly, for those of you who are youth. Since marriage is something that is to be pursued not according to fleshly desires, but according to the Lord's direction, according to the Lord's timing, according to the Lord's word, then when we enter into BGR, firstly, make sure you are ready for marriage. It's the Lord's timing, that you understand what marriage is all about, and not only that, but you are also ready for the demands, the commitments, the duties, and the responsibility that it brings. And we will study it very soon. And I hope when you study it, your heart will be filled with more seriousness about all these things. Then you'll be more careful when entering into such a relationship. And please understand that whether a person is ready for marriage is not determined by age. Some people can be very old, and their hearts are never ready for marriage because they are never ready to commit themselves to another person. They are never ready. Their hearts are never ready, right, to accept and to embrace the duties of the marriage covenant. They are also not spiritually mature. Right, men may not be spiritually mature to lead a family. The woman may not be spiritually mature to submit to a head. So it's nothing to do with age. Some can be young, or at least the world claims they are young, but actually they are ready. Because they are mature, they know that it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's timing, and they are ready to let the Lord lead. Some, well, they can be of age meaning, you know, you all know what age you are, especially those of you who are Shomerim or in the Adults Fellowship, you all know what age that you all start to get a bit nervous, right, about this whole thing. Some is, right, sometimes it's because we are not ready, sometimes it's just the Lord's plan. Right? Not now. And we must trust that the Lord's timing is perfect. He knows whatever is good for us. Sometimes we think that we are ready, but the Lord says, actually, you're not ready, so no, not yet. And take note that some of us are called to be single. Right? You turn to page 2, you will notice that right down there is this whole session, right, that God has ordained some to be married and some to be single, right, and due to a lack of time, I will not want to go through this, right, the first one, 1 Corinthians 7, I will not be going through, right, there is a whole session about singlehood and the advantages of singlehood. Basically, it says that, well, if you are called to be single, well, you have more time for the Lord without any distraction of the duties of married life. And married life will bring about many duties. Right, if not, you just ask those who are married already. Right, you can ask Boon Hao, you can ask Sharon, you can ask Deacon Tay Bing, especially when the child comes, even more duty. Right? And so you have to plunge yourself into these duties which the Lord has given to you. When it comes to the other areas of service in the church, you obviously have lesser time. And some may therefore say, know, I'm therefore called to be single. Not so soon also. Right? Is whom the Lord calls to be single, then that person will abide to be single. How do we know this? Right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Right, Matthew chapter 19. And then let's look at verses 10 to 12. Right, Matthew chapter 19, verses 10 to 12. And here God's word says, right, his disciples say unto him, right, that is Christ's disciples say unto Christ, if the case of the man be so with his wife, right, it is not good to marry. But Jesus Christ did not mean that it's not good to marry. No, if it's God's will for you to marry, then by all means marry, and he will help you to, right, do the duties to cope with the responsibilities of marriage life. But there are some whom the Lord indeed has not called to marriage, and this will be 11 to 12. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this teaching, this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which are born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdoms of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So there are some whom the Lord has called to be single, the gift of singlehood. Well, let these people remain single for the Lord's sake, and be happy in the calling which God has called them to. And so, especially those of you who are in Ebenezer, sometimes those of you who are in Ebenezer, especially when you get to the upper secondary, some of you may start to have an interest in the opposite sex. It's natural. And then the assumption may be, oh, you know, one day I will get married. Please don't be so quick to say that, because there may be some of you whom the Lord has called into singlehood. And you must be prepared that maybe the Lord's calling for you. And then you see your friends getting married, and then your heart, ayah, everybody gets married, now I'm single. Or even in the teenage years, you see, oh, everybody seems to have a girlfriend, I don't have. And then you fall into diverse lust. Please. Right? Understand this. Right? Let the Lord lead step by step. Because if you do not let the Lord lead step by step, you're not careful to guard your heart, you may fall into all kinds of sexual sins. And the Bible makes it clear that when it comes to sex, and when I talk about sex, it is not about just the act itself, but please understand that when we talk about the sin of fornication, it starts from the heart. Right? The Bible says if you look after the woman and lust after her, right, it is sin. And so please understand that when it comes to sex, it is only within the marriage covenant. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. See that? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, right, when it's within the marriage covenant. But once outside of it, right, the whoremongers, the adulterers, God will judge. So, please be very, very careful and guard yourself. Don't let yourself to fall into all kinds of sexual sins, because God will judge. This goes not only to those who are in Ebenezer, but those who are also married, we must be very, very careful, guard ourselves. Guard ourselves from pornography, guard ourselves from all kinds of the desire to experience a relationship out of that of husband and wife. Because there are many problems now in the church, because husband and wives, they find other men and women. And worse still, some even go to commit the act of adultery, like sleeping in bed. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 6 tells us that that will be called defrauding a brother. The body is supposed to be for someone else, you steal it away from them. And steal their purity away. That is stealing. So young people, please be very careful how you approach the opposite sex. Be careful of your looks, how you look at one another. Be careful of your words, what you speak to one another. Be careful of your hands, where you touch. And this is no joke, because I came to this camp and in just fresh this morning, there were two newspaper articles concerning events that are done in tertiary institutions. And some of you are in tertiary institutions or about to enter into tertiary institutions. One is from Ngee Ann Poly, the other one is from National University of Singapore. The National University of Singapore, they had a program that is outside of their orientation program. So they finished the orientation program, so they entered into the next day. And so they went to the beach. And they had this game whereby they want to form the longest lines with items on top of themselves that they are wearing. I think even FEBC also played that. But we just take off our shoes, our specs, and then the line is not very long in the end. Just for fun. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But what happened was this. In their eagerness to win, they plunged into the sea. The men took off their clothes. There were naked men in the sea, and there were half-naked women also in the sea. This is reported in Straits Times. But they hide it behind a premium wall. I don't know why. Just fresh, just yesterday. It happened, and today, I think last night actually was reported. But I saw it this morning. And then with regards to Ngee Ann Poly, there was a girl in the volleyball club. Ngee Ann Poly. Right. Doing a lap dance. Film, viral, on a guy's lap. These are orientation programs that are done. So, young people, you better be careful when you go for your orientation programs. Orientation programs today are one of the most deadly programs that you can participate in. Because it involves a lot of sex that is outside of the marriage covenant. No, sex is only allowed within the marriage covenant. That is what God has instituted. So please guard yourselves. And that will also mean that, yes, when you take photos, please keep your hands, whether you are a guy or girl, keep your hands off. And I hope we make it clear once and for all down here, keep your hands off the opposite sex. Do not touch. And I say it with a very heavy heart. I enjoy actually looking at Instagram photos that you all post. I hope after this nobody takes me off the list. Because when I see you all, and then I see sometimes the posts that you all post are interesting. And then I see you all having great joys in your school, you know, great joys in holidays. My heart is also filled with joy because, oh, so nice. I rejoice in the Lord. You'll get to experience happy times. But sometimes I also see certain things that makes me very worried for all of you. And my heart bleeds for all of you. And recently I saw a photo of someone who, well, not in Tabernacle, but in the BT church, put his hands around a girl's waist, and a few girls' waist. A few. And I don't know what is more shocking, the boy putting the hand on the girl's waist and not knowing what kind of passions he may elicit in himself. But because men are very sensitive to touch, both men and women do not know what kind of passions they will conjure up in themselves, and definitely these are not the passions from God's word. or whether it's the woman allowed him to do so, because the position where the hand was in such a sensitive position. Such a sensitive position that I thought is only reserved for husband and wife. And even husband and wife wouldn't want to do it in public. So, please be very, very careful of all this, because you never know. You think that you are strong to handle it, but actually it's already a sin. And after that, you fall further and further, and before you know it, even though you, in the beginning, you may not have intended to be like this, but you may very well end up on the bed before the marriage. And also for couples who are intending to get married, please never ever go on holiday alone, right? As a man and woman, boyfriend and girlfriend, before the marriage day. And after that, you know, you say that you go into the same hotel, same room, especially overseas, same hotel, same room. And then after that, you tell your friends, hey, don't worry, we can receive one. We sleep on separate beds. Come on. Right? So certain things like this, please be very careful, guard yourselves. And when you guard yourselves and you keep yourself pure, you know, and we know that, you know, that is what the Lord has intended for us, right? To be kept pure all the way until marriage. Remember when Adam and Eve, right? They knew each other. Right. There was no, of course, Adam and Eve had no sexual relationships with anyone before that. They were first man and woman. But then also we have 1 Corinthians 7, whereby we talk about the Father. Right. Later on we will see 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Father have the power over the lady whether to give her to a man to be married or not. And the term that is described in the scriptures, right, is virgin. Virgin. In other words, yes, the girl is supposed to keep herself pure. Of course, the guy also should know her as the first woman to, right, that she would know, right, on the bed. So understand these things. Okay, so for young people, this is where it is very important for you to know. If you are not yet ready for marriage, and especially some of you here say, hey, why am I learning this topic? Once you say that, I know you're not ready for marriage. And good, so if you know that you're not ready for marriage, then you better keep yourself careful with all these things. You're right, you're not ready. Then watch yourself with all these things. Because your friends won't be watching. They'll be very careless, but you are Christians, you keep yourself. Then the Lord will guide you until the day where you are ready, right, to be a spiritual leader in the home. Then, remember, this is a marriage is a divine institution. What it means is that if the Lord has intended for you to be married, there will be somebody out there who will be your wife or will be your husband, and nobody will be able to touch that person because the Lord has intended that person to be for you. Other people come your way, also, it will not happen. Maybe the lady, right, you thought, I've got challenges, come, this person wants to snatch this particular lady. Then the lady here already said, sorry, no. They say, my heart is for this lady. Will this lady accept me? No. Then you ask. Then you think, I'm not the most handsome. I'm not the most clever. I'm not the what? Very scared. But then the lady says, yes. Why? And the lady says, I just know it's God's will. You need to experience it for yourself. Until that day comes, keep yourself pure. Okay? Very important. Right? Young men and young women. Okay? So please, women also don't anyhow touch men. Men is very sensitive to touch women also. Both. You touch men, the men think you're interested, that's it. Okay? And then when you're not ready, you fall into, right, all your passions will go racing. So, right, so take note of this. Next, since marriage is instituted by God, it is a lifelong commitment. Right? Mark chapter 10, 6 to 9 simply states this truth. That what God put together, let no man put asunder. Right. So, it's a lifelong commitment. Please understand this, okay? Because once you come together, you cannot say, I want to divorce. No such thing. Right? Only in matters of where there is adultery, then it is allowed. But only then it's only because of the hardness of man's heart that is allowed. And the encouragement always is to reconcile, right? Is to forgive and reconcile. And what this means also is this: if you are pursuing a relationship with that of the opposite sex, you better be prepared and understand that it's a lifelong commitment. Because once you get together, like very soon, God willing, I'm looking forward to both Shermaine and James, as well as Deacon Bohao and Nisha getting married this year. Once they walk down the aisle, once they say their vows, once they exchange the rings, that's it. Till death do they part. Right, Nisha? To death, huh? Deacon Pohao, yes? Shermaine, also, James go whatever country, from Africa to North Pole, right, to South Pole also, you'll follow, right? Yes? if you walk down first, now, anytime till now, still can... Anytime till now, still can say no. But once you are like those of us who are married down here, sorry, that's it. Okay? And for example, then there will be certain habits of that person you won't know. No matter how, there will still be habits you won't know. And then things can also change to the person's physical being. So for example, later on in life, the person may develop a snoring habit. Right, snoring, right? That's not, I heard somebody say snoring. Now snoring, all you need to do is endure for the particular person. Let's say in camp somebody snores. You only need to endure for the person for, until when? Until Saturday, then you get back home. And after that, you see your nice bed. Oh, nobody snores today, I can sleep. If let's say it's husband and wife, let's say husband suddenly develops a sinus condition and then it starts snoring. Like me. My mind is light. Recently, my wife tells me that I have a snoring condition. But for her, thank God it's okay because she sleeps deeply. No, okay, never mind, I just sleep. Then both of us knock out. But let's say if you are a light sleeper, how? How? Daniel, how? Let's say if your wife starts snoring next time, God willing, if let's say you have a wife, if a dog, how? That is for life, you know, lifelong commitment. Lifelong commitment, and that is the... That can be the smallest of all problems. There can be other problems. Right? Those who are married, yes? Yes? No? Yes, Sharon? Yes? Sharon, I know. Both small at the same time. One after another. Then you cannot sleep, how? you see? And then you get into all kinds of arguments and whatever. Lifelong commitment. So, unless you are ready for it, right, but you see the girl, you see the guy, the hearts go pumping up and down. Then you run after all these kind of passions, but actually your heart is not yet ready. You are not yet spiritually mature to handle it. You are asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. You better ask the Lord, wait, slowly lead me. In your own time, lead me. If it really is... This particular person, right now I have an interest. If really this particular person, lead me step by step and show me. And when the time comes, both your hearts, you will know. Somehow you will know that it's the Lord's will. So take note, right? Lifelong commitment. So be very, very careful. Don't anyhow enter into boy-girl relationship. Okay? Once you enter, please understand that God is the one who will keep and bless the marriage. Because it is... ordained by God, God is the one who will also keep the marriage. Marriage is not a bilateral, it's not just between husband and wife. It is a trilateral relationship. God is the one who will be the shoulder binding husband and wife together. So, with regards to those who are married, what is the secret of staying married? A lot of times people think that the hardest is finding a spouse. Because when I received the email, one of the things is how to find a spouse. A lot of times people very worried how to find the spouse. They think that it is the one of the hardest things to happen. I'm not saying that it is easy. Sometimes for some people, especially those who need to wait long, it can be very trying. But this is the Lord's doing, is really to try our faith, and when God sends the right person into our life, we will know deeply in our hearts, yes, this is the one. But what is more trying would be staying married. So therefore, when it comes to the wedding ceremony, please, a lot of times people like to concentrate on how to prepare for the wedding ceremony. Now, wedding ceremony is important. That's why, God willing, second half, we will, and the second half is not really a half, but the last quarter, right? We will talk about some of the duties of the helpers, because tabernacle is small, surely all of us will be called to help, and you need to know, okay? And God willing, some of you next time become wedding coordinators, you will also know what to take note. But with regards to staying married, all kinds of problems, all kinds of habits, all kinds of arguments, how therefore to stay happily married? The only way to stay happily married is to walk close to God and His Word. That's it. No other way. You read God's Word, you read it by faith, you follow what God's Word says, and then you pray, and then you keep on serving the Lord together. That is the success formula. Really, that is the only way. It's not by just going for some holiday together. Now, I'm not saying don't go for holiday together. You should. If the Lord allows you, right, for you to have some time together, because a lot of married life is, well, the husband goes out to work, the wife has her own activities. Sometimes you want to spend the kind of intimate time together, not very possible. Go for holiday together, sure. But if you go for holiday together, but it's not in the Lord, it's not unto the Lord, then you're going to have a big, big problem. Because in the end, the problems will still not go away. It's still the same. They will still be there. That is why Reverend Timothy Toh, when it comes to marriage counseling, he never believed in marriage counseling. Now, the reason why is that with regards to marriage counseling in the past, when it first came out, a lot of it is actually by Christian psychologists, which are receive advice outside of God's Word. So he does not believe in marriage counseling. His advice for couples is, you keep on attending church, you keep on attending night classes, you keep on attending prayer meetings, and you sincerely read God's Word faithfully, and you pray. And then you will be a happy couple. It is true. Because the Lord must be the one. The Lord brings two together. The Lord must be the one to also bless that marriage. And so, if your marriage has a lot of problems, then perhaps the reason why there are a lot of problems is you are not walking close to the Lord. Both. Either one is not walking close to the Lord, or both are not walking close to the Lord. And you all really need to come to the throne of grace to pray and ask the Lord to reveal exactly what you all need to do according to God's Word. Okay? That's the implications for the life of the married couple. Those who are seeking a spouse also, since God is the one who placed two together, then how to find a spouse? Well, Genesis 24, due to a lack of time. Okay, we will just quickly go through this. Right, Genesis chapter 24, you just turn there. Some principles to take note. Okay, we will not read Genesis 24. Very long chapter. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham finding a wife for Isaac. You will realize that the first thing Abraham did when he wanted to find a wife for Isaac was to make sure that he find a wife for Isaac within the instructions of God's Word. And God's Word, right, simply says, right, God simply says to Isaac, when you find your wife, it must be a wife for Isaac, it must be from within your same family. It must not be from the nation that is around you. And so, Abraham made the steward to swear that he must go all the way to the Ur of the Chaldees, and from the Ur of the Chaldees, he must somehow locate the family from which Abraham came from, and then after that, from that family, he must find a woman that is willing to have Isaac to be, right, to be the wife of Isaac. Find a woman that is willing to be the wife of Isaac. And that is very, very difficult, nigh impossible in terms of today's human thinking. Will any, I ask the ladies down here, okay, especially those that are not married, are you willing to marry someone in which you have not seen before? Yes, Sarah, yes? No, I cannot. Can, really? You say what? go back and tell your mommy, Mommy, I'm willing to marry someone who I've not seen before. And mom say, okay, I'll find one for you. Can, Now, that was how things were like in those days. Oh, well, basically for Isaac and, right, and Rebecca, that was the way, isn't it? So firstly, within God's word. And God's stipulation is clear, right, within God's word. Firstly, right, there must not be any unequal yoke. In other words, if you are a Christian, you should not be marrying someone who is a non-Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And here God's word says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteous with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? Right. So take note, right? Don't marry an unbeliever. And then with regards to 1 Kings 11, 1 to 9, it's actually the account of King Solomon. He loved many strange women. And then he married them, and what happened? Oh, all kinds of problems in his life. The wives turned his heart away from God. And that is what often happens with regards to unequally yoked. A lot of times people like to point to success story. Oh, you know, this person married unequally yoked. After that, the husband came. Now, that when all these things happen, it's really by the mercies of God. And if you ask anyone who is involved in an unequally yoked relationship, you will never find one that will say that they will recommend anybody to go into an unequally yoked marriage. You will never find one. Because what will happen is that you want to follow your principles. Let's say if you want to continue to stay true to Christ, you want to follow the principles of the Bible. The other person here is not interested in the things of the Bible because he is spiritually blind. He or she is spiritually blind, and you're going to have trouble. Because this person is going to aim to have your devotion, and then when you are more devoted to Christ than to that particular person, what is going to happen? That person is going to be very angry with you. There will be a lot of problems in your marriage life. So please, only with a Christian. That is the key. The other thing is this. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. First Corinthians chapter 7, 36 to 38. This is the one where it talks about the father having power over the daughter. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. In other words, if the father comes to a certain point of time where he feels that the time that he has with the daughter is up, it is now time for the daughter to, right, the daughter is of age to be married, and the Lord has indeed willed that she should be with another man, well then, let him do what is required. He is in the flood. Let them marry. Right, see that? Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, by power over his own will, and so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So that he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Okay, why? Because this virgin that is single will be wholly dedicated unto the Lord. No need to worry about the duties and responsibilities of marriage life. But what it says down here also is this principle that when right two come together, as far as possible, there must be what? Parental consent. Parental consent. Or please don't get married when you all don't even know one another's parents. Or after you get married, you are getting married into one another's family. You know? So last time you have one set of parents, now you have two. So if you think one set of parents hard to handle, or honor one set of parents is really so difficult. Now you want to get married, now you have two sets of parents. And those who are women, in general, there is a high possibility of mother-in-law problems. Better be prepared, sure. Unless you get very godly mother-in-laws. Because why the mother is with the son? Right? Last time she was the closest with the son. Now you are the one closest with the son. Then you cook something for the son. You cook sausages for my son. My son don't like sausages. Why you cook sausages for my son? My son like hard-boiled egg. Your egg you cook three quarter boiled. You don't know how to cook hard-boiled egg. See all kinds of problems. You see that arise. Okay, so please understand all these things. So better make sure first, at least the parents consent, then it will be much easier later on. In the first place, the parents already not happy, you better pray. It may not be God's will. Okay? So take note of this. Parents, make sure you know one another's parents. Deuteronomy 20 verse 7 also talks about the importance of giving away a virgin. And in fact, in those days, in the Old Testament times, if a man discovered that the woman is not a virgin, he can literally stone the person. Okay, so take note. Okay, there is seeking a spouse. Okay, so what you should do, young people, you want a spouse, just concentrate on knowing God's word and be a godly Christian. When you are a godly Christian, who do you think will be attracted to you? The people of the world won't want to be with you, right? So going back to all those, right, all this, you like to touch here, touch there. The people of the world like to touch here, touch there. You touch here, touch there, who will be ones attracted to you? The people who touch here, touch there. True. And then when you don't touch, you keep yourself off. Yeah, of course, the people who like to touch here, touch there, they'll find you, this person, why he's not like us, or she is not like us. Then maybe perhaps they don't want to be friends with you. Or if they don't want to be friends with you just because you don't touch here, touch there, not worthy friends. Really not worthy friends. But if you keep yourself godly, those that love Christ, those that love Christ's likeness, when they look at you, then you'll be very attractive to them. Then, when the time comes, the Lord will place the love in your heart. Then, ting, 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 you all come together. It's like this. That is the secret. You have to experience it for yourself. Okay? If you want to know my story, no, not here, because this is recorded. Maybe later. But everyone will have their own story to tell. Everyone is different. But everyone will, like those who are married, and God, they will tell you, well, it's all the Lord's doing. So young people, take note of this. Don't be anxious, okay? Just seek to be the best Christian, right? By God's grace, and the Lord will send that person into your life. And that person I send into your life will be for a purpose. Now, what is that purpose? We'll see later. But before that, we will want to do the last point, which is marriage is supposed to be a heterosexual monogamy. Okay. What is heterosexual? Daniel. Daniel, right? Daniel, the other Daniel. Not Tampines JC Daniel. Daniel Khan, okay, Daniel Khan. You know what is heterosexual? Okay, do you know what is homosexual? You know? I'm sure you know, right? What is homosexual? Come on, it cannot be. You all don't know, right? Okay, never mind. I ask your brother. David Khan, you know what is homosexual? Yes? Homo means what? Boy and boy, girl and girl, right? They have, like, attraction to one another. Right? Of homo, same. Heteros means what? Different. Right? That means between a man and a woman. Right? That is what a marriage counseling about. A man and a woman in marriage. Okay? And monogamy, a man and a woman. Not one man and many women, and not one woman and many men. Take note. Okay? So just this point. So don't go and find men, don't go and find many women. Okay, that is men's weakness. And then have many mistresses outside. Even if you say you're not married to them, that is wrong. Okay? Take note. Okay, purpose of marriage. Not enough time, let's go. Purpose of marriage, number one. What is the purpose of marriage? Firstly, for companionship, right? Genesis 2:18. Right, the passage just now. Right, from the passage just now, we saw that marriage is one, is an institution of God. Then we also note that it is for companionship. Genesis 2:18. What did God say? And the Lord God says, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And the word meet here means appropriate, suitable for him. You will realize that in this particular passage, when all the animals were brought before Adam, they were not suitable to be a help meet for Adam. And why is that so? It's because the animals were all not made in the image of God. But Adam was made in the image of God. And so therefore, God took a rib out of Adam, out of the man, and from that he made a woman. A woman literally means, right, taken out of man. That's why women. Okay? And so, this woman, therefore, will be the companion for him for life. The companion of all companions besides, of course, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Because in verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be as one flesh. Now when he says they shall be as one flesh, he shall cleave unto, right, the man shall cleave unto the wife. This word cleave here is the strongest term of cleaving, of joining, that you can find in the Hebrew scriptures. Basically, it means two metal being soldered together. Do you know what is soldering? Have you done design and technology before? Have you done? Not yet. Not yet, set one. You are doing what now? Home econs. Not yet. No more D&T. Design and technology, set one. Oh, so good now. Okay, never mind. Set three, set four. Probably you all will do it. Right? Gideon, have you done it before, soldering? Basically, you take some lead, and then you put, right, with heat, right, and then you put two metal together, and after that they will join and become as one. That is the term that is used down here. So in other words, your devotion to this particular person whom the Lord has called to be your spouse must be the closest of all relationships in this world. And if you, your heart is still the type like, right now I still like to be with my friends, and what? It's not that you cannot be with your friends. Please, you can be with your friends, and you should. Because if you want to minister for the Lord, take note, my husband and wife, although soldered together, it's not forever stick together, and then nobody can talk to that person. Okay, that's why in the Far Eastern Bible College, actually, they are trained. The husband and wife, they don't, in the lesson, they don't sit together. Right, Shamin? Right? Of course, James was in study with her. Yeah, they have to sit separate. Even if they know they are courting, also sit separate. Because they have to learn, right, to, right, when the time comes when they need to minister, right? To, for example, the lady may be called to minister to other ladies. Right? The man cannot simply always stick to the lady. Right? Let the lady minister to the lady. So let the man minister unto the man. Sometimes the time comes to be together, then together you minister. But with regards to the relationship, the closeness, They must be the closest. No other person's relationship must be the closer than that particular relationship in this world. Not even the mother and son relationship. A lot of problems happen in marriage whereby the head, the husband, is still so close to the mother that really is like mama's boy. If mother says something, must do. The wife says, no, please do according to scripture. But mommy says so. Or finish, not ready for marriage. Some boys are still like that. You'll be very surprised. Even 30, 40, 50 years old, they can still be, but mama says so. Oh, then better don't get married. Really. That's what it means by the man leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife, and now they will be a separate family unit. Now, it does not mean that the duties of the son to honor their father and mother ends. But what it means right now is that with regards to the family unit which now the Lord has formed with the two of them, the man now is the head. No other person is the head but the husband. And he is responsible for making all the spiritual decisions, and he must be able to do so independently with the Lord's help. Right? So that is what it means. Okay? And this lady, he must love with all his heart. Between the lady and all other people in this world, as long as whatever is the lady asks is within God's word, he must do for her. His devotion is to her. That's why some of you here, young people, sometimes when you see married couples, you don't understand why come the married couples, why come must live together, right? I know. Somebody asked that question recently. That is the reason why. Companionship. Nobody is... if any one of the married couples here, unless it is necessary, they don't want to stay together in the same room here in this retreat, I will start to get very worried. I stay so often in the same room with my husband already, or with my wife already. Let me stay separate in this retreat. I'll be very worried. Because it means that there's some problem in the marriage relationship. And they ought not to be. But once they leave the room, if it's required for the lady to minister unto the ladies, and the man has to be away from one man, please don't go and stick to your wife forever. Stick all the ladies, soon your wife will be very lonely. Don't do that. Okay, that's not what this commandment means. Okay? Same with the woman and the man. You follow the man will be also very lonely. No other guy friends. Okay, so take note. So for companionship, also for, and of course this companionship, as you will see later on, is to help them to excel in doing the will of God. Okay, so the purpose is to be a help meet, right? The woman to be a help meet for the man, so that to help the man to achieve whatever God has in store for him, to glorify the name of God. And you will notice that the man later on, when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, is supposed to do the same with regards to the wife. And to help her to be the best possible Christian with regards to the service of the Lord. So understand all these things, okay? Next, procreation. To have children. How do we know this? Because of Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Right? So for procreation. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll realize that there is the encouragement of the men and the women even to give of their own bodies to one another. Now, outside of the marriage, no sexual relationship. But once a couple is married, that's what it means to be one flesh. Right? Everything that belongs to you now belongs to your spouse also, including your own bodies. And you ought to give of your own bodies, not to take it away from the benefit of the other person. There are some who are so interested in watching television. They watch their Korean drama. Firstly, a lot of Korean drama are not godly, but they still watch all kinds of show. And then at night, when the spouse calls for their attention, they are not there. And then they are too sleepy. That is also the cause of a lot of problems in marriages. So take note of this, okay? And when they have children, now the Lord in Psalm 127, right, verse 1, I accept the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it, right? It must be the Lord who helped them to establish a godly family for the testimony, right, of Christ Jesus. So please take note of all these things, right, the purpose of marriage. And so if boy and girl want to come together, is it with this in mind? I hope so. That's what it means to have marriage in mind. It's not that, oh, I am of age. Now I am 30 plus. Now I am 40 plus. But still, if you are just a teenager and you want to come together, for what? Just to set the fleshly passions racing? Then please don't come together. That is not of the Lord. You can claim all you want. And the worst is, sometimes in marriage counseling, people come, they can say all the right answer because they know, especially now after this pastoral talk. Oh, now all know the standard answer. So next time when it comes to a counseling session, all can say the right answer. But after that, what happens behind the scenes, don't know. In the end, you are answerable to the Lord yourself. Right? So please take note of this. Okay? We have spent 1 hour. Right, so let us now have a 5 minutes break. You need to go to the toilet, you go, and then we'll come back here, and then we continue with part 2.